evening with Vacation Bible School. And the decorations, the organization, it was just beautiful. And if you did not get a chance to walk through downstairs, you missed it. I want to publicly thank the workers that worked in Vacation Bible School. Our VBS director was Ann Schuford. She had a lot of people helping her, though. We had people that literally, they came up here on Memorial Day and worked for 10 hours just one day. Then they would come other days and work 4, 5, 6 hours. And so Vacation Bible School was just a great week. We averaged downstairs, not including upstairs, we averaged about 120 kids a night. And then up here in the adults, which was the first time we've had an adult Bible school in forever, we had over 30 a night, and on Sunday night we had between 60 and 70. And so it was just a good week. We had 4 people saved, and that's what it's all about. And so I know what time it is. I didn't take my watch off so that it would, you know, be a reminder for me, other than that I want to make sure that I know what it is and not get to preaching and look and not be able to tell real easy. I know what time it is, and I'm going to adjust my message accordingly. But I do want you to see the video that was put together about these kids this week, okay? And you'll also probably see 1 or 2 shots of the adults downstairs at Klondike Corner maybe eating a cupcake. So anyway, it was a good week all the way around. So let's roll the video.
Thank you.
fun? Yeah. Those boys at the end there doing all of those signals and all that stuff, they were about as coordinated as I am. All righty. I hope that that you have been enjoying the last couple of weeks. I began a series 2 weeks ago on Can We Trust Our Bible? My original plan was to go for about 4 weeks. It's going to be bumped now to probably 5 to 6 weeks. And I hope that this is something that you will tell others about. They're able to go on the internet and they're able to look at the series. They're able to listen to the messages. But one thing before we get into our text, I want all the VBS workers to stand. If you worked at VBS, I want you to stand up. Because this could not have happened without this group of people right here. Thank you so much. Our text this morning is found in Genesis 12. Genesis 12. The title is The Miracle of Israel, the Manuscripts, and Archaeology. Now this morning, because of the time that we're facing, we're only going to talk about point one. I'll come back in 2 weeks and we'll pick up the manuscripts and archaeology. But this morning, I want us to just simply look at our first point. The man that we're going to talk about this morning is a man named Abraham. And Abraham is, he's the father of the nation of Israel. He's spiritually our father. And he had an amazing ability to believe God. You think about a man that had never met God, but God came to him and God spoke to him in a place called Ur. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. And I hope that you and I will get to the point to where we can say like Abraham, that when God makes a promise to us, we don't stagger at it. When I thought about Father's Day and how I would try to tie this in with our series, I just began to think about the miracle of the nation of Israel and how that Abraham was the father of that nation. And so I want you to think about this, that as a father, they had confidence in him. And as an earthly father, I hope that my children have confidence in me, that my grandkids have confidence in me. And so this morning, it being Father's Day, fathers, I want us to look at Abraham, and I hope that we will say, help me to be like that and not stagger at God's promises. So this morning, I want us to look at a couple of things. First of all, what I want us to see in chapter 12, verse number 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When we read that, I want you to know that there's some things that you ought to underline in your Bible. There's several I wills that are there. I want you to notice that he says, I will show thee a land. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. I will bless them that bless thee. And in thee all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And so I want you to look at the miracle of Israel. David Ben-Gurion is the first prime minister of the nation of Israel. You see his name when you fly into Tel Aviv. It's the Ben-Gurion Airport. What does that mean? It means that they so revere this man that they named the airport after him. One of the most famous sayings in Israel, you'll see it on t-shirts, you'll see it on bumper stickers, you'll see it on posters. It says this. It says, in Israel, to be a realist, you must believe in miracles. In other words, they know, being there in Israel, that the whole country itself is a miracle. Now, Abraham is the father. He lived in a place called Ur. If you're a historian, you know that is in ancient Mesopotamia, right? And then he lived about 2,000 years before Christ. Our text today tells us about a covenant. And this covenant is called the Abrahamic covenant. In other words, it's a covenant that God makes with Abraham. We don't have time to get to it today, but two or three chapters over, I think it's chapter 15, there is the actual ceremony that takes place where that God takes the animals that are sacrificed, he splits them in half, and he walks down through the middle of those sacrifices. And the reason that he does that is because he's giving his word that he will keep this promise to Abraham. And so there's a covenant that's made. Now, what does he promise? He says, Abraham, I'm going to make your kids like the stars and like the sand of the sea. Now, what's significant about that? Well, right now, Abraham doesn't have any kids. He and Sarah have been married for a long time, but they don't have any kids. And he goes, I don't understand it, but God said it. Okay, he staggered not at the promises of God. Not only that, but he said, I'm going to give you some land. When you begin to walk around, this land that is called Canaan, that's going to be yours. Now, there's going to be some people that are there. Well, not only that, because of Israel and because of Abraham, all the other nations of the world are going to be blessed. Did you know that you are blessed this morning? You say, how are we blessed by that little nation of Israel over in the Middle East? Jesus came through Israel. If you've trusted Christ, you've been blessed. That's the biggie. Now, there's other things. They've got Nobel Peace Prize winners and all of that stuff in physics and in medicine and in philosophy and in histories and all of that stuff. But the biggie is we've got a Savior thanks to the nation of Israel. And then I want to give you a quick history. You got the patriarchs. You've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Then you've got the 12 tribes. You've got slavery and you got Exodus with Moses. Then you've got the conquest of Jordan with old big Joshua and his armies. Then you got the judges, and then you got three kings that come along. You've got Saul, you got David, you got Solomon. Then you've got the kingdom that gets divided, the nation. And then the north is conquered in 722, the south in 586. Those are numbers that you ought to remember, by the way. And then there's something called the diaspora, and that is the scattering. You have the Assyrians took the 10 northern tribes and they dispersed them. Then you took the Babylonians in 586. They took the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and dispersed them. And from that time until 1948, Israel didn't live in the land of Palestine. They did not live there. And you know what? That was 2,500 years ago. But in 1948, that flag flew for the first time in 2,500 years. Now, what's some highlights? The first point, there's only 2 points this morning. One, there's a regathering of the nation. Deuteronomy 28 highlights. We won't read it, but God basically said, if you'll listen and obey, you'll get blessed. Then he said, if you disobey, you get cursed and you get kicked out of the land. That's what he tells them. But then in chapter 30, he says this, after you disobey and after you were cast out 2,500 years, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come get you from other nations, and the land is still going to be yours. Yes. Yes. You hear all this stuff about a divided nation of Israel and a divided Jerusalem and all of that. I don't have any idea what the peace process is going to involve right now. But I can tell you how it's going to end. Right now, I personally hope that they begin building an embassy in Jerusalem. The last time we were there, and I think we had 14 of our people that went, the last time we were there, on one of our bus rides, we went right by the lot where that place is supposed to be built. I'm ready for them to start pouring concrete. And so there is the land that's going to be promised. Well, there's a second thing that I want you to think about. There is the nation of Israel and the fact that it is indestructible. Now you say, You really think that? Yeah, I do. I mean, that thing's smaller than New Jersey. I mean, the state of New Jersey has got more land mass than the nation of Israel. Doesn't matter. You can't beat God. You can't do it. Well, Harold S. Martin said this: the Jews have been the pallbearers of every nation that persecuted them. That's a pretty big statement right there. What happened in Egypt? You know what Pharaoh said? I want you to take all those little baby boys and I want you to throw them in the Nile River. Moses' mama said, I'm going to put mine in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter hears him crying. She takes him for her own. Moses, decades later, becomes the great deliverer, and the nation that is in slavery is now led out. Well, what about Babylon during the time of Queen Esther? You got Babylon, and then you got Persia, and you got Queen Esther there. And old Mordecai, her uncle, says, God have put you in this place for such a time as this. And there's a guy that's there named Haman, and he's trying to wipe out the Jews. And what does God do? God has Haman hang from his own gallows. Well, what else? World War II. 6 million Jews killed in Nazi Germany. But it wasn't just in Germany. I mean, they were in Poland and they were in France and all these other places where people were being killed. Did you know in Kiev, Ukraine, I read this story a few days ago. There was a story of a little particular little town, and it was kind of hollowed out in a little valley area. They took 50,000 Jews. They shot them. They dumped them in this valley, and they began to pile dirt up on them. 50,000. Many of them were still alive. And they piled that dirt up on those people, 50,000 bodies, some of them alive. Eyewitnesses said that for the next 3 days, you would see the ground move and groan. That's what people that were enemies of God's people did. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know any of these people? Do they live in your neighborhood? Do you, any of you live next to a group of people, a race of people called the Hivites? Anybody? Well, what about the Amorites? Do you know any Amorites in your neighborhood? What about some Jebusites? What about some Edomites? How many of you know any Jewish families? They're all over the place. There's more Jews in New York City than there are in Israel. Now that number's rapidly changing, but you've got people in New York City that are Jewish, but you don't have any Amorites there. You know why? Because when those nations were conquered, those people were absorbed into the civilizations that were around them. For 2,500 years, 2,500 years, this group of people have been scattered all around the world. And God said, I'm going to bring them back. He's regathering them. They are indestructible. And so this morning, I want you to know this. You can trust your Bible because God told Abraham 2,000 years before Christ, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you this land. And I am going to bless all the nations of the world because of you. And Abraham is revered to this day. Not just in Judaism, not just in Christianity, but Abraham is revered in all the major religions. Even the Muslims call him father. They think that Ishmael is the rightful son. But the scriptures tell us that Isaac was the rightful son, not Ishmael. And so the miracle of Israel is just an amazing proof as far as I'm concerned. Did you know in 1900, just a few years ago, as far as the grand scheme of things, in 1900, there was not one town, one village, one community that was organized officially that was Jewish. Not one. But in 1948, they flew their flag. Did you know that every month, hundreds of Jews leave countries from around the world? And what are they doing? They're migrating back to Israel. Do you know they have places called absorption centers to absorb the people until they can find them a place to live? Are you listening on the news when they talk about building settlements? You know who they're building those for? They're not building the houses so that those Jews that are there are going to be able to have something that's gone from a 2,000 square foot house to a 2,500 square foot house. These settlements are to settle many of the new people that are coming to live in the land. God's put something in their heart. And he's saying, I'm going to bring them back. And that's what he promised in Deuteronomy chapter 30. When you think about Abraham, I want you to not stagger at the promises of God. He didn't stagger, and we don't need to stagger. Why? Because we've got a God in heaven that answers his prayer or answers his promises. When we pray a promise of God, we can take it to the bank. God delivers. And when you read his word, I want you to know that you can trust it. You can trust it. I hope this morning, as we think about can we trust our Bible, the miracle of Israel, you say, man, they're talking about driving those Jews into the Mediterranean Sea. It's not going to happen. Just like when I tell people, hey, the church is going to go on. It may not be the Corinth Baptist Church. It may not be the church in America. But there's going to be a church somewhere because Jesus said, I will build my church. Just like you're not getting rid of a church as far as nation or globally, earthwide. You're not getting rid of the church. It's going to be there because Jesus made that promise. You're also not getting rid of the nation of Israel because God made that promise. And it's a miracle. If you're going to be a realist, you got to believe in miracles. God's word is true. Let's stand together. Now, our Father, I want to thank you for your word. Lord, we ought to trust that word. And I pray, Father, that with all the proofs that we've been talking about, Lord, for 2 weeks now, and now today a third partial, we've looked at various evidences, things like the Bible claims it, science proves it, history proves it, now the miracle of the nation of Israel proves it. In a couple of weeks, we'll talk about manuscripts and archaeology that prove it. Then we'll talk about prophecies that prove it. Lord, there's just proof after proof after proof for those that are willing to accept it and believe. So, Lord, help us to have great confidence in our Bibles. Now, Lord, one of the things that the Bible tells us is about redemption. And, Lord, what a wonderful thing it would be on Father's Day if there was a person here and they did not know Christ, that they would say, I believe the Bible about redemption. I believe that when the Bible says that Jesus died for sinners, that could include me. And I pray today that if there be one person here that does not know Christ, I pray that today would be the day that they get that settled. Now, as heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. This morning,